And welcome back to Church Online. We have been in the book of Jonah. Man, this is the Maple City Baptist Church, man. We're glad you're here. We're now in Jonah chapter 3. You know, we've been through the whole part. Jonah rebels against God and he pays for his own boat ride. They end up in a big storm and they had to throw him over, you know. And before you know it, God prepared this whale to swallow him. And we talked of how it pictures in Matthew 12, when Jesus talked about his death, burial, and his resurrection, he said, it's like Jonah. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days. And then, of course, he was resurrected out, meaning that Jonah died. And last week, we covered the last verse of chapter 2, where it says, and God told the whale to vomit Jonah out. Who would have ever thought vomit would be compared to the resurrection? But, you know, when you vomit, man, you cannot hold it back. And the Bible says hell, the center of the earth, the grave could hold him no longer. It had to eject him out. You know, it was a beautiful picture. So Jonah now has been vomited out, and he is on dry land. And we enter Jonah chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll just cover to verse 4. Are you ready? Let's read this thing. Jonah 3:1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Ready? Lord, please take your word and lift it off the pages and put it onto our hearts. Give us exactly what we need. Well, we're thankful for the story of Jonah. We're learning a lot of good things, and I pray today it continues. It's in your name we pray. Amen. It starts off here, and it just says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I love this. I love this whole thought process in the Bible. The second time, because our God is the God of the second chance, man. He doesn't give up on people. And Jonah is ejected out of this whale, and God spoke to him a second time. You know what I love about this? God gives Jonah a second chance. You know, what would have happened to Nineveh? Right? God wanted him to go cry against their wickedness, and now guess what? Now Nineveh, this whole great city, is going to get another shot too. The second time. You know, in Genesis chapter 22, there's a beautiful story where Abraham is told to go sacrifice his son. Now, you remember, this is the son that was the promised seed. Like, they were so old, Abraham and Sarah, they couldn't have kids. And so this kid comes out, God comes to him and says, I want you to take his life. He believed God could resurrect him. He lifted up the knife and Abraham was getting ready to put down inside of it, and God spoke to him, right? And then, this is a chapter of Genesis 22, verse 11, but then you get to verse 15, Genesis 22, 15, and let me just go there, and God speaks a second time. Genesis 22, spoke the first time, verse 11, verse 15 says this, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, but here's what he said. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars. Isn't that beautiful? So I want you to know something. God spoke the first time to Abraham and stopped him from killing his son. But the second time God says, now I'm going to multiply you. And so it's amazing to me in this story, we see it again. God spoke the first time and Jonah was on the run the second time. And now guess what? Jonah's going to go forward with the message. We're going to see some crazy things happen to a whole city because of the second time. God is the God of the second chance. Elijah in the Bible, 1 Kings 19, it says the angel of the Lord came to Elijah a second time. God always would come to men again, like confirming his word again and again. Jeremiah the prophet, 3 times in that book, God came to him a second time, and maybe it took a second time. Jeremiah had a tough message. He had a tough crowd. Sometimes you wonder, God, is this really what you want? And God comes a second time, because we have a God of the second chance, right? Acts chapter 10 and verse 15, Peter, do you remember the sheet coming down to Peter? And it says, hey man, arise and kill these things, and we're going to eat them, you know. And Peter, like thinking of the law, said, no, that's not going to happen. God said, no, I told you to kill and eat. And Peter struggled because he knows what the law says, right? But God was getting ready to open up this beautiful, the gospel was getting ready to go to the Gentile world. And finally, Acts 10:15, it says God spoke a second time to Peter and said, hey, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. In the midst of Peter's struggle, God came a second time. I don't know about you, man, but I'm so thankful for God being a God of a second chance. I'm so thankful that he speaks again. He confirms his word again, especially when we begin to struggle and we begin to doubt it. You know, there's another principle on the second time, right? And it's clear in the Bible. Did you know our first birth brings us death, right? We're born to die, man. But we have to get saved, right? The incorruptible seed enters in. John chapter 3 and verse 3. And if we accept that, we get born again, a second time, right? This is why in the Bible, even though the firstborn was always supposed to get the blessing, usually it ended up being the second, because God was painting a beautiful picture of salvation, right? And we got Cain and Abel, remember that one? Esau and Jacob in Genesis chapter 25. What about Joseph's boys, Manasseh and Ephraim? Remember the dad was old wanting to bless the kids, and he put his hand and he was supposed to bless the firstborn. He reaches over and he touches the secondborn. And Joseph's like, Dad, that's the wrong kid. And the father said, no, it's not. Because there's something about the second, right? The second birth. Here God is giving Jonah a second round, man. A second commission. A recommission. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've always loved this verse. It teaches us a lot of things about doctrine, but in 1 Corinthians chapter, 15 and verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, it says this. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam, right, brought us death. The second Adam, the last Adam, number two, made us quickening spirits. That would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't that beautiful? Yeah, that's right. Number two. You know, God gave us a testament, right? He gave us an Old Testament, and then he gave us something new. The birth of Jesus Christ came along. He fulfilled the law and died for the sins of mankind. It's beautiful, right? Yeah. Have you ever read the book of 1 Corinthians? What a troubled church. Every chapter, all 16 chapters, negative, 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 just not good, not good. Then there's the book of 2 Corinthians, which is a great book for like the model of ministry. It's the second time, man, a book, a letter gets written to this church. And it's so much change has taken place, right? You know, Lamentations chapter 3 says, God is faithful, his mercies are new every morning. Man, this shows me when the word of the Lord came into Jonah a second time, God is merciful, man. You know, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, God is, I love this word, long suffering. He suffers long. He's been waiting. And here Jonah is wanting to run in rebellion, and God, instead of just writing him off, grabbing a new one, somebody else to do the job, God suffered with him and suffered long. And, you know, he not only suffers, like, you know, of course, Jonah ran in 3 days. He died. God resurrected him. But even the message Jonah gives, God's ready to destroy this wicked city of Nineveh. And God even says in verse 4, the message is, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God's willing to wait another 40 days? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll outwait us every time. God is that patient, that long-suffering. You know, long-suffering would just point to endurance, right? Endurance and real patience here. And when you look up long-suffering in the Bible, let's look at like Psalms 86 and verse 15. Psalms 86, 15 says, God is full of compassion. He's gracious and long-suffering. He's full of it. He never runs out. Do you realize this is one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5? Is long suffering. It's something the Spirit of God does in you and me. We're not a very patient people, right?
We're not very patient with other people, but God is immensely patient with us, and I think we need to learn from this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, very long suffering. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, even when we rebuke, when we have to give a reproof to somebody, the Bible says, do this with long suffering and doctrine. So we got to bring the Bible. The truth of the Bible doesn't change. But let's make sure we're willing to suffer long with people and be long suffering. Sometimes maybe it's time for you and me, maybe this message will speak to you in a practical way. Maybe you need to give your child a second chance. Maybe it's time you've been telling them. You feel like you've been telling them. Maybe you need to tell them again. Maybe the word of the Lord, the word of dad needs to come a second time and say, hey, let me make myself clear on something here. And then give your speech, you know. So God is not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish. He wants everybody to come to repentance. So God is long suffering. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, right? This is a second chance for Jonah. It's also a second chance for a great city, a Gentile city, Nineveh. This is our God, right? I remember my daughter, when she got cancer, she decided she was going to write do some spoken word. And that was one of the things she did. One of the things she said was that, I can't believe that I should have died that day. I was in such rebellion and God gave me a second chance. He is the God of the second chance. And just remember, if Jonah didn't get a second chance, it would have been death for him. If he wouldn't have been given a second chance, you know what else would have happened? Nineveh. What would have happened to Nineveh? God would have just overthrown that whole city. And so remember Abraham in Genesis 22, beautiful story where he's getting ready to kill his son, this miracle son that God gave him. And God said, stop. God came to him and said, stop. But I love later in the story, a second time God came to him and said, because you're willing to do this, I'm going to multiply this thing. So God's a God of multiplication, isn't he? So yes, the second time. Now it says next here that the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time saying this, arise and go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, which is interesting. Do you remember in chapter 1, Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, I want you to go, this city's so wicked, I want you to cry against them. And now he says, I want you to go preach to them. Which just does, it just shows us a little bit of a definition, right? We're known in our churches for doing a lot of teaching, but I think we need a little bit more of people, men and women that are willing to stand up with this book and cry out against wickedness, cry out against sin. That would have some passion, wouldn't it? Maybe some tears behind it. So he says, I need you to go preach unto this. But then he says at the end of verse 2, the preaching that I bid thee. This is kind of interesting here because I don't know if it's because Jonah was so rebellious, God had to clarify something saying, hey dude, you're going to Nineveh. Don't preach what you want to. I'm going to give you the words to say. So listen here, dude, preach my words, basically not your own. And this is hard to do. You know, as preachers, we need to be biblical people and make sure we preach the message that God gives. And you know what everybody wants in church? You know, everybody wants candy. Everybody wants lollipops and everybody wants, you want to feel good, man. You just want church to be more about hearts and balloons than you do about going to the woodshed or getting corrected. That's the day we live in. We live in a politically correct world. And God says, I need you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach what I tell you to. You know why this is so difficult? It's a little bit different for Jonah. Because Jonah did not like these people. They're Gentile people. They've even oppressed, you know, his people, the nation of Israel. But for you and me, you know what makes this so tough is, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, like God tells this prophet, your face is going to have to be against their face. I'm going to make your forehead very hard. Very hard. Why? Because you're going to be going against people. You know how people say all the time, like, I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. He says, yeah, as my prophet, that's how it's going to feel. I got difficult words for you and people are not going to accept them. Isn't that amazing? You know what, Ezekiel, if he was the pastor of our church, he probably would have been fired by now because the message was so hard. he had to preach what God bid him and told him to. You know, Jeremiah 1:8, it's the same thing with this prophet. God said, Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces. Jeremiah had a tough job. He had tough words to deliver, but he also had a group of people that God told him ahead of time, they're not going to respond well to this. So you're just going to have to be not afraid of their faces. You know, do you realize Jesus Christ, you know what he was killed for, don't you? He was killed for his words. He brought God's words down, right? His Father's words, he said, Mark chapter 2 and verse 7. And they said, this guy's speaking blasphemy. Well, he wasn't, but it ended up getting him a cross. It ended up getting him killed. Paul in Galatians 4:16 says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Man, truth produces enemies. If you're a Christian, or maybe you're a pastor and you're hearing this message, just want to encourage you, man, if you're not making some enemies, you're probably not preaching the truth. God's word's tough. That's why he had to remind him, you make sure Nineveh's going to hear the words that I tell you, Jonah. So preacher, preach the words that I give you. You know, in the book of Acts, many a times it got these guys locked up in jail. People did not like the message. The message went against their culture. It went against their religion. And people did not like it. Do you remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7? He preached such a hard message. The Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth, man. He died. So this is what's so hard, and God has to remind him, preach the words that I give you. Because sometimes on a Sunday morning, I'm like, man, will they hate me? Or I have words to give maybe to a couple, and I think, man, are they going to leave the church? Oh, maybe they'll love me, but maybe they'll leave. Hey, maybe Nineveh will repent. This is a little bit of what Jonah was actually fearing. He knows how God is so gracious. He wasn't really wanting to do that. So the book of Galatians is a great one on this subject here, and it's just basically, are we going to please men or are we going to please God? And this is what he said to Jonah, is that you're going to arise and you're going to go preach. Preach that what I bid thee, right? Preach God's words. Hey, look at this in verse 3. Jonah arose, went into Nineveh. Isn't that awesome? Do you remember last time? Jonah arose and fled. And now Jonah's obedient in verse 3. He arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, very large, quite a bit of people, of 3 days' journey. So where he was at now was 3 days' journey. And then it says in verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Interesting. 3 day journey, he turned it into one. Was this a miracle? Did God pull off a miracle here? And most people say that Jonah would have had to go for 24 hours without sleep and probably go at the pace of about 10 miles an hour to make this. Well, I don't know. I think there might be somewhat of a miracle here, but you know, let me tell you what I do think there is here. There's urgency. Jonah just died. He had the trial of his life, man. He's down fighting, calling out to God, and all of a sudden, God spits him back out. And you can imagine being in whale juice, being dead, and then talking with God, then you die, then God revives you, and you do business with God, and you say, I will pay what I vowed. This is what he said to God. And so all of a sudden he gets spit out. He's like, my gosh, he might have just wanted to get this over. But isn't that discipline? Sometimes that's what it is. You just got to get it over with, right? Do this thing, right? I remember as a kid, my mom, we were visiting a family, and I decided I was just going to tear their house to shreds as a little boy. And I did. And my mom told me, she says, when you get home, you're getting it, man. I am going to whip your tail. I remember I went to her 2 or 3 times. We were there for another 2 hours. And I just said, hey, Mom, I can't even enjoy myself, man. Can you just take me into another room and whip me now? She said, nope, you're going to wait, man. She gave it to me. But this here, I think there was a little bit of an urgency. Do you love that story in Acts chapter 8 of that Ethiopian eunuch? Acts chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Where it says, you know, God told Philip to go join thyself to this guy, man. And, you know, I love it because the Bible says that Philip jumped up and it says, and he ran. God told him to go and he ran. There was an urgency. He wanted to get there quicker. You know, in Revelation 22, life gets so tough, but you know, it says, John says at the end of this book, It's like one of the last things he says is, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We've been waiting a long time. Come quickly. Well, hey, we want Jesus to come back, but in the meantime, you know what we need to do on this side? Obey quickly. Obey quickly. Let's get aggressive. Let's get after it. Let's work with an urgency. Psalms 119 and verse 32, David says, I will run the way of thy commandments. And thou shalt enlarge my heart, man. I will run and be obedient. I think this is what Jonah did. 3 days, took it down to one. You know, the Bible says in James 4 and verse 17, if you know to do good and you don't do it, that's called sin. That's called sin. And so you and me, you know what we need to do? We need to be a little bit more urgent. Let's do it. You know to do what's right. Do it. I read a book called The 5 Second Rule. This lady wrote a book. She just said, you know, when you got something to do and you sit on the couch, you just want to relax for a little bit. And it dawns on you, there's something you should do. She said, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do it or don't. And a lot of times we don't. That's discipline. We need to get up and just do it. You know, there's a principle in the New Testament on redeeming time. Ephesians 5 says, let's redeem time. How do you redeem time? You know, and I'll tell you this much. It was a 3 days journey. Jonah died. He was in rebellion. So, you know, he went down to the belly of the whale for how long? Oh, that would be 3 days. He lost some time, didn't he? It was time for him to make up some distance, man. God spit him on dry land, and I think he took off, and he did like a bakery truck. He hauled buns, man. That's what he did to get to Nineveh to preach this message. So let's redeem the time. One great way, the New Testament says how we redeem our time, and we should, the Maple City Baptist Church, we make disciples. We invest in other people. I teach somebody everything that I know and just say, now you do the same. You go out and preach this message. You go out and invest in people. So I multiply myself or, you know, multiply Christ. But it's called making disciples, right? That's a way we can do it practically. So here we are. Jonah gets the word from God a second time. God's gracious and long-suffering. God says, preach what I say to preach, dude. What I tell you to. Even if it's going to be difficult. It's the hardest job of a preacher ever, isn't it? When you have to go reprove or preach a passage or the church ain't where it needs to be. You know what you got to do? You got to own that thing and proclaim it, knowing that it might not be received well. But many a times it is. Then we've seen this 3 day journey turned into one. I just thought that was super interesting. And then it says this in verse 4. He entered the city a day's journey and he cried and said, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. This was the message that God told him to speak. 8 words long. Yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days. 40 days. God's going to turn this place upside down. It's beautiful that he uses the number 40. You know, the number 40 in the Bible is the number of testing. 40. It's the number of testing. You see it frequently. And my gosh, I could be here for the next 2 hours turning to every verse when God uses the number 40. Do you remember when God came down to judgment and flooded the earth with Noah? Genesis 7:4. Noah was in that ark. How long? 40 days and 40 nights. And God wanted to make sure too that everything was dead. That was his judgment. Everything was going to have to die and he would endure it. Do you remember the nation of Israel? Same thing. He said, you've disobeyed. You will wander the wilderness for 40 years. Why 40 years? Well, 40, it's a number of testing. He's going to make sure that generation dies. Yeah, God is not playing. Do you know in Exodus 16 and verse 35, they ate manna. God said, I'll provide manna for 40 years. God provided for them for 40 years. God is faithful. You know, when Moses oftentimes would meet with God, he'd go up in the cloud and he would go for 40 days. That was a common one. 40 days. They'd go up into the mountains, meet with God. When Moses got the 10 commandments, you know, he was up there for 40 days. 40 days. Guys, sometimes I know we want things now. We want to read the Bible, get answers now. We pray, we want answers now. You know, we're not very patient. 40 is the number of testing. I believe if you want a new habit in your life, some people say, do it for 20 days, do it for 30 days. The biblical term would be 40. 40 days. Do it for 40 days. And man, you're like this thing you're struggling with, this habit you're trying to create can turn into a discipline, man. 40 days. Israel wandered for 40, right? We got this. You know, Joshua, 40 years old when he got to enter the promised land, 40 years old, you know, even when he went in with them spies. And that's why, and by the way, when the spies went in, how long did they go in? It was, oh, for 40 days. God says that one day per 1 year that you guys wandered and didn't do the right thing. Many times in the Bible, kings reigned for 40 years. David, the Bible says he reigned for 40 years in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Many of kings, you had 40 years. And guys, maybe in a culture, even in a city, sometimes it takes some time. Are you willing to reign and endure for 40 years? Some of your families, man, your families, you might come from an addictive, troubled family with a lot of sin in its background. And, you know, are you willing to be the man that you need to be? Are you willing to take a stand and for 40 years do the right thing, man? 40 years, do the right thing and raise your children. And then you see your grandchildren. And my gosh, you could go from literally all of a sudden being troubled and messed up, and all of a sudden you could get right with God. You could start on a journey of growth. You could become a father. You could become a grandfather. You could end up being a real king, man, of the domain that God has given you. For 40 years, you could reign and end up being a sage where people want to come to you and even get advice on what it is to be faithful to the Lord. You can turn that around. Remember, 40. Starts with 40 days. If you're an addictive person, change that habit, 40 days, and let that turn into so much more. Go in the increments of 40. Before you know it, you have a 40-year run, man, right? And I became a pastor when I was a young pastor, youth pastor, when I was 20. I'm 53, man. And so I don't know how many years God's going to give me to do this, but I feel like I've had a lot of trouble. I've made a lot of mistakes, but maybe these last seven, man, up until I hit 60 can be something. It would be the round of my 40, man. And it's a testing, and I'm going to go out strong is what I'm going to do. That's my plan, right? So the message was 40 days, man, and this place is going to be destroyed. Remember the 40 even in the New Testament, right? Jesus went to the wilderness. Well, how long was his temptation? 40 days the devil tempted him in the wilderness. That's right. And so God wants to prove us. And now the message for Nineveh was, you got 40 days, man, 40 days to make a choice, to make a turnaround, to make a decision, or I'm going to turn this place upside down. Yeah, that word overthrown, it defines itself, doesn't it? Yeah, overthrown. You're just literally going to turn it over on its head. Proverbs 12 and verse 7 says, the wicked are overthrown, but not the house of the righteous. The house of the righteous shall stand. Right? Wickedness is overthrown. Twice in the Bible, God uses this word overthrown with Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happened there, right? All of that nastiness that took place and all that sexual perversion, God says, I will destroy this place. It'll be overthrown. That's right, overthrown. Sodom and Gomorrah. We're entering that as a culture right now. Another like sexual revolution. It's getting very devious out there. A lot of people are making bad choices and bad thoughts and spreading them out. Now everybody thinks a lot of weird things. Guess what? Let's watch that thing. God's going to overthrow that, man. Let's make sure we stand up and proclaim righteousness, right? The last verse I was wanting to quote was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It talked about being overthrown in the wilderness. That's what God had to do for 40 years until that generation that totally rebelled, they were overthrown and they were buried. And God started off with a new. So, man, I think that's plenty to cover for this week, verses 1 through 4. We covered the second time, man. God came to Jonah a second time. Isn't that beautiful? He said, I need you to go preach, man. You cry against these people, and I want you to preach, but you preach what I tell you to, what I bid you, that's the hard thing to do. It's not our own message, but preach God's message, especially when it's rubbing something raw or rubbing even, maybe it rubs me raw, you know. And then I love how it takes 3 days journey into one. Isn't that, that was a beautiful little thing to look at. We just see, we need to redeem the time. We've lost some time, so let's get after it. And then his message was, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 days, like a proving number. God gave them a number and said, I'm testing you. I'm proving you. What are you going to do? Because I'm going to turn this place upside down in 40 days. Well, how does Nineveh respond? That's next week. You got to tune in next week. Thanks for tuning in this week. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place.